Welcome. You are listening to a multi-part podcast series on the history of Dominican University of California, presented by Campus Ministry. This series has been organized by Sister Mary Sower and is made possible through the joint effort of Campus Ministry, the Communications Department, and Penguin Radio.
I'm Liana Castro, and I'm the Assistant Director of Campus Ministry, and I'm really glad that you guys are all here to listen to today's stories. So Dominican theologian Fred Edward Skillebeck wrote that the story of Dominicans can only be kept alive by live Dominicans. We at Campus Ministry also believe in the gift of storytelling, and so today we come to hear the story of the Garden School, the preschool that was housed in this room here in Edgehill for 40 years. Please welcome me in welcoming Annie Reed, who is our presenter today, who is our university archivist. Welcome, Annie. We look forward to hearing your Dominican story.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. So just a little background on myself. I'm the university archivist and head of special collections. I also do other librarian duties. Some of you may have seen me in your classes or at the reference desk. But my favorite thing to do is the archival research on the institution. And when I first came to the library, in the back room where we had our staff offices, there was this bookcase full of these photo albums. And they were from the Garden School years. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the Garden School, the building itself, the teachers, Sister Patricia Lyons, and we'll get into some of the cute facts about the Garden School. And I think one of the things that I never met Sister Patricia Lyons, but one of the things I absolutely loved about her was she saved everything. Every letter from a parent or a former student, every photograph, curricular notes, some other ephemera I'll show you. And it's just wonderful as the university archivist to come across a find like that and a collection as large as that. So when I first came across the photograph collection, I thought these are wonderful photos. And then there were more. There were documents and awards and other things. And there was so much to the collection, I decided that I wanted to do a full exhibit on the Garden School. And that's actually up right now behind you. After the talk, if you want to go out into Legacy Hall and take a look at the Garden School exhibit, that is what inspired this talk today. Forgive my voice, it's a little scratchy, and I've got a lozenger, so I hope that's all right with the sound. Okay, so I have a slideshow, and some of this material is photographic, some of it's, I scanned materials from the archives, like this was a early brochure for the Garden School. I'm also gonna be reading directly from some archival materials. As we go along, and then I'll also be talking about some of the photos. So, okay, so this is the original Edgehill Mansion from 1882, and this is from Berkeley's Bancroft collection, and I have a little bit to read here about William Babcock from his death notice in the Marin Journal from 1918. William Babcock, one of the most prominent men in the business world of San Francisco and the Pacific Coast, and a citizen of San Rafael for many years, died unexpectedly yesterday morning after a brief illness from an acute attack of pneumonia. The word was received in San Rafael with deepest sorrow. He was known here as a philanthropist and one who gave quietly but without stint to every worthy object and purpose that he was brought to his notice. Because he sought out the worthy and never sponsored any project that savored of foolish giving, He worked quietly. This mansion was originally gifted to William Babcock by his father as a wedding present for his first marriage. Here's the west view, and this is, it's as you come up a driveway here, you can see the front entrance, and then the room we're in now has not been added yet, off to the side here. At the time of his death, he was president of the Security Savings Bank, a director in the Bank of California, the California Pacific Title Insurance Company, and the Ship Owners and Merchants Tugboat Association. He was also a large owner of improved real estate, one of his possessions being the beautiful home in San Rafael, one of the beauty spots of this community. And he was survived by his second wife, whose name was Julia May, and she was originally from Baltimore. And she's the one, after his death in 1918, she's the one who sold the house to the Dominican Sisters in 1920. So here's, this photo's from the early 60s, but I just wanted to show you here the addition of what's called the garden room, which is the room we're in now, and was a main room for the garden school. So this quote is from one of our yearbooks that was called The Firebrand from 1945. Edge Hill, once the Babcock Mansion, was first established as a college dormitory and dining hall in 1920. It was formally opened on August 30th of that year, the day of Mother Lewis's Golden Jubilee. Here's an interior shot. You might be able to tell from this photo, it's a little dark, is the fireplace mantle here is actually what's behind the screen. When we renovated the building in 2010, we moved that fireplace, which was where, this is the chapel now, if you can see this archway over here. This was sort of the living room library area of the original building. We took that fireplace mantle and moved it into this room. Again, from the Firebrand, 1945, Edge Hill has the home-like character that all the college buildings possess in one way or another. It is a beautiful place. Its magnificence is apparent to the most casual visitor who does no more than walk through the now unclosed gates. It's going to get really cute from here on out. The garden school was pre-kindergarten and kindergarten classes. And this shot is in what's Legacy Hall right behind us, that, those windows right there. You can see the students here coloring and learning on the abacus, which is really impressive. Okay, so this is also from a garden school brochure from the 40th anniversary. The Dominican College announced the opening of the garden school for children of pre-kindergarten and kindergarten ages on September 4th, 1946, under the direction of Sister Patricia Lyons. The school is located in Edge Hill, the former Babcock estate on the Dominican College campus. This building provided the required space for the preschool. The kindergarten class used the dining room as a classroom, while the glassed-in sun porch, which is where the room is now that we're in, though it's no longer as glass enclosed as it was, became the pre-kindergarten classroom. The oversized pantry was the art room, and the living room was used for parents' events, while the former library was converted into a chapel, which was used each morning by the children for prayer. Many garden school alumni made their first communion in the Edge Hill Chapel. So the chapel for the garden school is in where the chapel is now in the building. So I think that's also pretty special that that place is still there as the chapel. And please interrupt me anytime if you have any questions about the photos or anything I'm talking about. I love this photo just because it's, again, adorable, and it's showing the dining room area here, and the sisters are throwing a birthday party for one of the students. So during the first semester, Sister Patricia, this is Sister Patricia, was assisted by Geraldine Doyle, a fifth-year Dominican College student and candidate for kindergarten primary credential. Sister Mary Ellen was appointed pre-kindergarten teacher, a professor in the early education program at the college until her retirement in 1969. And this is Sister Mary Ellen here. And this is probably the earliest photograph of the two of them with two of the students. One of the things that was really interesting about the Garden School was its connection to the college. So education students taught in the program, and also later on in its history, nursing students would do checkups with the children as well. So it wasn't just a preschool, it was very involved with the actual academic programs happening at Dominican College at the time. So here again is Sister Patricia and Sister Mary Ellen, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about them briefly. Wilma. Wilma entered the novitiate in the fall of 1942 after 3 years of public school teaching. At her reception, she chose the name Mary Ellen. Between first and final profession, she taught at St. Raphael's in San Rafael and St. Agnes in Stockton, California. In 1947, she became the pre-kindergarten teacher in the Garden School in San Rafael. Throughout her professional career, she was known to be gentle, caring, and joyful. And unfortunately, due to illness, she did have to retire in 1969. And here we go. Sister Patricia Lyons, born in Vallejo and educated in Dominican schools there, Sister Patricia Lyons graduated from Dominican College in 1937 with a degree in music. And she used to play the piano for the Garden School students all the time. She returned to campus to start the Garden School 9 years after she graduated. She is a woman of tremendous energy and dedication, says then Dominican College President Joseph Fink. There's no limit to the hours she devotes to assisting students, their families, and the Dominican College students she helped teach about teaching. To find themselves the ability to do their very best work and to take pride in having done it. Her gift of the Garden School is cherished by all of us. I just had to include this because I absolutely love this photo. Here is Sister Patricia and Sister Mary Ellen taking the students on a field trip. And you can see the Edgehill building in the background, which at the same time was also still a dormitory for the senior students. Did you have a question? No, okay. And you'll see later on, there's this other great photograph of the Dominican senior students peering down on what was called the May procession for the Garden School. Here's a class photo of the pre-kindergarten class from 1963-64. Again, the school enrolls 46 students a year, pre-K and kindergarten, and has a waiting list each of its 50 years. Among many distinguished alumni are athlete Sue Heim, who swam the English Channel, actress Candy Casey, who held a leading role on The Young and the Restless, Vietnam War hero Tom Chincada, television producer Heidi Kuhn, owner of alumni story Muchka, with sister story time with the gardens taken by Ansel Adams, who resident photographer from about 1932 to 1952. And he would go around campus taking photographs, some of them posed, some of them not, that would end up in what was then the catalog, basically. And this is way before he became a famous nature photographer. And his daughter actually went to the high school that was on campus here for a while. And he developed a great relationship with the sisters over the years. And later on in his career, he gifted the university three of his artistic portfolios. So we have a collection of about 110 of the prints that he did, like this one, for campus, about campus. And then also three of his artistic portfolios, which are absolutely stunning. I use them to guest lecture in other classes, history of photography, things like that. If anyone is interested in seeing either the Dominican collection or the artistic print collection from Ansel Adams, just make an appointment with me and I'll show them to you. They're really, really brilliant. Here are some action shots from the Garden School of students. I love this one because we have this one here of our education college student doing story time with the children, and then she's doing story time with her peers. reading and math were strongly emphasized in the pre-K and K program. Oh, I also want to point out here you can see, you can't see it on all the children, but most of them you'll see they have this white sweater and with this fleur-de-lis badge, which was the emblem of the Garden School. And I still have badges that I found in the archives. I wish I had a little sweater, but I don't. If you know anyone who's an alumni of the Garden School who wants to donate a sweater, that would be fantastic. But all the children wore those little white sweaters with the fleur-de-lis on their shoulder. You can see here again, this sweater, they're practicing their reading. And then this one, they're coloring. The memories of more than 50 years of Garden School students and parents say it all. Sister Patricia Lyons had a special gift for inspiring young children to love learning. Perhaps more telling is that dozens of students have grown up to make the Garden School a family tradition, sending their children and even their grandchildren to start their educations under the same expert guidance as they once enjoyed. Since founding Marin County's first school for early childhood education in 1946, Sister Patricia has helped more than 3,000 4- and 5-year-olds from every city in Marin to discover the wonders of music, art, unlock the mysteries of math and reading, understand what computers can do, and most importantly, learn to experience the world around them with their hearts as much as through their senses. For this select group of graduates, the word alumni applies not just to high school and college. It reaches back to their very first school experience on the campus of Dominican College, to the child-sized chairs, the fat crayons and finger paints, and the marvelous melodies of the piano that Sister Patricia used to play for them. I want to talk a little bit about the curriculum of the Garden School. And these are Sister Patricia's own words here. This was one of the brochures that we found, one of the earlier brochures, and then found some later ones I'll show you in a second. But she says that character development through self-discipline is the guiding principle of the Garden School. Conducted by the Dominican Sisters at Edge Hill in the gardens of the former William Babcock estate on the Dominican College campus. The Garden School is composed of two departments, pre-kindergarten and kindergarten. Originally, they actually wanted to have grades 1, 2, and 3 elementary as well, but maybe they didn't have the funding or the resources for that, so they just stayed with the pre-K and the K classes. The curriculum is constructed with the purpose of fostering the spiritual, intellectual, physical, social, and emotional development of the child, and is particularly adapted to the abilities and ages of the children enrolled. The content of instruction, methodology, and objectives are directed to the optimum development of each child as a unique individual. Sounds similar to maybe the four values that we have here at the college, and of course of the Dominican Sisters. So. So as you opened your catalog brochure here, you see that they talk about the foundations of mathematics and the foundations of reading, and we have these great shots of the children learning to read and learning to do numbers. And I found this notes on the curriculum in the archives, and I just want to read a little bit from there. The school is composed of two departments, pre-K and K. The curriculum constructed with, oh, here we go again, the purpose of fostering the spiritual, emotional, social, and physical development. It consists of religion, reading, mathematics, computer training, music, literature, poetry, games, simple dances, and art. For pre-K, a four-year-old entering the pre-kindergarten is introduced to the basic principles of form and color, which consist of the use of geometric shapes of simple objects and the proper techniques and the use of crayons and paint. The first unit of work deals with the circle and objects based on it. This involves muscle training and coloring and painting. Next, and most difficult, is the triangle. Emphasis is placed on the equilateral triangle to facilitate their drawing. The four-year-old follows the curriculum through a reading, writing, and math program together with religious training, science, stories, poetry, games, and free play with their peers. That's just the pre-K. The kindergarten class, the child learns the correct use of number forms and concepts and gradually learns to recognize and write the numbers 1 through 100. And I don't know if you can read it, but they develop these raised number boards for the children to learn their counting. And also they would use these boards and write out all the numbers and learn their arithmetic that way. Sister Patricia herself created the sound say spell method that she teaches to her kindergartners. With it, dramatic results occur in the spontaneous recognition of the meanings of words and imprinted materials. So this is where they're doing the sound say spell exercise over here. See rags run. With these guidelines, the child progresses at his or her own level of ability, and as a result of this instruction, the child is able to read simple stories independently. This is from a later brochure. As you can see, we've got the computer here. This is what a computer, for those of you who are too young to remember, this is what a computer looked like in the early 80s, possibly the 90s. Yes, looking at that keyboard there. Computer training introduces a variety of basic skills, such as the typing of simple sentences and the addition and subtraction of numbers. So she was using this with the kindergarten class and teaching them how to use a computer. Music also plays a major role in the intellectual and emotional life of a garden school child. Singing for pleasure helps the child express aspects of his or her life in a positive manner. Participation in rhythms, singing games, and dances gives the child control in a natural rather than forced situation. Religion is presented to children of all faiths, helping the child to understand and appreciate the love of God in creating him and the world in which he lives. The child learns simple prayers. As he applies religion to his everyday life, he also learns right from wrong. The children pray in the school chapel daily and participate in the May procession and Christmas program annually. And I'll go into a little bit more detail about those events in a minute. This is nice. I just wanted to show you guys this part of the brochure. You can see here's one of our nursing students who they would do weekly checkups with all the garden school kids. This is actually taken right out of the exhibit. It's the Dominican College of San Rafael Distinguished Service Award for Sister Patricia. I think this is from 1982. She garnered many awards over the years, but this one explains her extended service she gave to the college and the garden school. And it says, if you can't read it, educator, founding director in 1947 and still guardian of our garden school, loyal moderator of the Alumni Association for 33 years, treasurer of the Alumni Fund, and she was also a trustee of the college. Gifted teacher of the mind and spirit of the young, you have taught generations of alumni and their children to seek veritas and to read and sing with love. For 35 years of generous and distinguished service to education, we thank you and wish only that you'd continue to cultivate the garden. And she did. She went on to cultivate the garden with the garden school until 2004. So Sister Patricia has received several honors. In October 1982, the Outstanding Teacher Award from the Rin Education Foundation. I think she also won that for 1983. In 1988, the Rotary Citizens Honoree, and in 1991, honoree of a grand reception by Dominican College. The Alumni Association, too, honored her and established the Sister Patricia Lyons Alumni Award, which we still have, yes? Yes. Given annually to distinguished graduate of the college. In 1996, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Garden School, the college hosted a splendid reception for her and as a surprise gift presented her with two tickets to Rome. And she took one of the alumni with her and they had a fabulous time and she writes about it in one of the Garden School newsletters, so. And also, as one parent wrote, Sister Patricia, you have been an inspiration to my child's life and have been responsible for smoothing her rough edges. She has developed a budding interest to learn. All of this is to your school's credit. Okay, so let's see a little bit about these events. They did three main events, pretty much yearly, and one of them was Christmas program. So the students would do a program in Angelica Hall, and then they also had a more casual visit with Santa, usually, Christmas party. And this is from, I believe, 1972. This is the program. So Sister Patricia saved all the programs and all the photos for each year for the Christmas pageant. We have the choir boys, and then also the Christmas angels, which were the girls. So this is in Angelico. Here are the choir boys. Many of them don't look happy to be there, but we're happy that they were. And then here are the Christmas angels, these were the girls. And I did find a few color photographs. Most of the photographs are black and white, but as we get into the 60s and 70s and 80s, that we have more color photographs. And there was a few years after this color photographs and all the Christmas angels, they're wearing these little pastel gowns and it's so adorable. And here they've got the baby Jesus here by the tree. And then on a different note, in 1972 for the Santa party, we actually have Santa Claus helicoptered in I landed on the library lawn for the students. And it says here that Dominican College Garden School in San Rafael, Santa actually, who was Tiburon Fire Chief Franklin J. Boucher, he had a child at the kindergarten and another one in pre-K at the garden school at the time. He swooped down on the children in front of the college library the other day with greetings of the holiday season. Pilot of the helicopter was Lou Hurtley, parent of another child in the garden school. So the parents would get very involved, obviously, sometimes being Santa, sometimes flying Santa in on a helicopter. I wish I had the original photograph for this. The original photographs I have of this event are all focused on the children, and there's none of Santa in the helicopter, so it was really sad. So the quality on this isn't great because it's from the news clipping. One of the other main events that they would do would be the spring fashion shows. So every spring, they would do some sort of fashion show with the children. And this one from the 50s was called Easter Dreams. And they would have this fashion shows often in Meadowlands. And then afterward, they would do this really formal tea. And it was a fundraiser in order to raise money for the building fund for campus. So this one was called Easter Dreams. I actually do have the original photograph, so that's really nice. You can see they're very prim and proper in their Easter gear. This is from the 1950s. And then they would do an actual fashion show. You might recognize this as the Meadowlands Assembly Hall. If you look at those wind stained glass shields in the background there and the wood paneling. And there used to be a little stage in the back of the assembly hall before the remodel. Here's one I just thought was too adorable, did not include. And then here's the tea, very formal tea after the Easter Dreams fashion show. And this is, at the time, the college president, Sister Patrick Carney, having tea and sandwiches. And I wonder if that tea set still exists somewhere. It's got to be still in the convent. The other main event they would do every year was called the May Procession. This is the photo I was talking about earlier. It's from May 1958, and you'll see the May procession of the Garden School students and Sister Patricia at the bottom there, and then the college students peering out of their dorm watching, which I just thought was so sweet. And they would do the procession down the lawn in front of Meadowlands, and then also, I wonder if the statue is still exists. I don't know.
Isn't that behind Van Gogh? No.
Huh.
Check with Sister Marie. She would know.
Okay.
I think it's around. I think at one point it was here. It was right outside there.
Oh, maybe is it near Santa Sabina?
It's probably somewhere over the facility.
Oh, it's in the facility's shed. Okay. Okay, so June 1986 brought an end to the garden school in Edge Hill since the building was declared unsafe for living. So this is Edge Hill in the 1980s, and it wasn't that it was totally falling down. It wasn't, but it was kind of, you know, dilapidated. But the main reason they wanted to move the students out of the garden school at that time was that the college could not afford the proper earthquake insurance. So they didn't want to have the children in there in case something happened. So they wanted to move the garden school out of the Edge Hill building. And the garden school began its 40th year in a new modern facility adjacent to Edge Hill, which was right out on the lawn there for years. And it was this trailer building consisting of two large classrooms, a chapel, and two workrooms.
There was three decks leading to the playground and one constructed for the handicap. This new facility was the result out to the lawn out front. Question, yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about.
They renovated this building, but the garden.
And they took it down. I heard it had was it structural? Why did they take it down?
Because
it was just a port.
Temporary.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a trailer.
They also have a women and gender studies area, library in there.
Oh, and they had a women and gender studies library in there. Okay.
But they also took it down as part of the remodel.
They were going to
I get it, it's temporary, but it lasted 20 years or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure why they decided to remove it completely.
It was part of the bigger project that this building that would be replaced because it was basically no longer functional in the way it should have been used.
Okay.
And I believe that part of the master plan at the time was that there was going to be, the chapel was going to extend into that area.
Oh, yes. That's a really interesting story I will talk about shortly. Mm-hmm. I also love this photo. I feel like this really depicts Sister Patricia and how she was with the students. And this is actually, this student is Hillary Trimble, and this was taken in 1976. And Hillary actually went on to become the teacher at the Garden School, kindergarten teacher, I believe. So here we go. Hillary Trimble, she got her master's in education, curriculum, and instruction at Dominican College in 1996. And then a year later, started teaching in the Garden School. Hillary entered the school in 1975 at the age of 4. Sister Patricia was already a friend of the family, as Hillary's two sisters and brother attended the Garden School before her. "When I left the Garden School, I always dreamed of coming back," says Hillary. This fall, Hillary's dream came true. She was hired as the school's newest teacher and began teaching kindergartners part-time with Sister Patricia. After Hillary left the Garden School in 1977, she attended San Domenico Lower and Upper Schools in San Anselmo. She graduated in 93 from St. Mary's College in Notre Dame, Indiana, and a bachelor's degree in psychology. In 94, she revisited her Dominican roots, enrolled in the college master's in education program, and graduated in May of 1997. My favorite quote. When asked why she loves teaching at the Garden School, Hillary says, with no pun intended, because everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. While going through Sister Patricia's extensive archival collection that she left for us, we came across these drawings the students did, and they pulled them together. They were pulled together by theme: kindness, thoughtfulness, friendliness. And then at some point, I think maybe it went for an anniversary or something, they scanned a bunch of them and put them into a book. So I've got a few of those to show you. This one was under ecology. We help save our world by burying apples that are too ripe. Kindness is sharing my umbrella with a friend. Friendliness is mowing the lawn for someone who didn't have time. Thoughtfulness is washing the dishes for grandmother. Those are pretty good dishes. And then happiness is swinging. So it is true, everything you need to know you learn in kindergarten. So, what happened to the Garden School? I knew that it went till 2004, but in all the archival collections that I had, I couldn't really, there was nothing definitive that said why they stopped having the school then and what was going on, until I found this article in the Torch magazine from spring 2003. And It's really surprising. It says that at that time, they wanted to build a new chapel for the university, and they had hired an architect and raised money. And the architect came in, and of course, some of you may know this story better than I, so please chime in if you'd like to. And the original plan was to relocate the garden school. So it was now in that building out on the lawn in front of Edge Hill, and they wanted to relocate it. They didn't say where in this article. They also wanted to move this building. They wanted to take Edge Hill and put it somewhere else in San Rafael, and then they were going to build the whole new chapel on this site. As far as I understand it, plans fell through. I don't know if it was because of fundraising or if it was that the college didn't like that idea. I'm not sure. But then, and Sister Patty can chime in a second and tell me. So then what happened was in 2010, when they decided to renovate this building and do the chapel in here, that's where the Sister Catherine Benincasa Chapel ended up. Well, thank you guys so much. And